Well, at long last, I'm very pleased to welcome back Margaret Mills for her latest book review. So good to see you, Margaret.
Hello there, Scott. It's really good to be back.
Ah, it's wonderful to see you. Now, this time you've selected a book which formed the basis of a recent TV series which examined a number of cases involving women convicted of murder in this country and sought to re-examine whether their convictions would stand up to scrutiny given the forensic techniques available today, coupled with other factors. Now, I have to say, I never saw this, but I know you watched the programme. But anyway, tell us what the title is, who's the author, and how did they set about the task?
Well, it's a book called Murder, Mystery and My Family, and it's sort of subtitled A True Crime Casebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by a lady I've not come across before called Karen Farrington. I don't know whether she had any connection with the programme as a researcher. If she did, that missed me when I read the book.
Right. And now, the TV programme was called, had the same name, did it?
Yeah, Murder, Mystery and My Family, yes, which, you know, it's useful because if you were interested in the programme,
yeah.
If you're in a bookshop, or you're on the internet looking for a book, it's going to grab you
straight
away. Leap
out at you, yeah.
The exact title. But, yeah, it's, you know, as it says, really, it's old murder cases and where people have received the death penalty, being executed, and it re-examines them, as you've said, in the light of modern-day forensics. And the investigation is led by two barristers.
Right.
One for the prosecution, one for the defence,
mm-hmm.
as though the case were being dealt with today. And when they've done their part, it's put before a modern-day judge. The judge will then examine the evidence in front of the two barristers, and usually he will then give his verdict to the members of the family.
Right.
The descendants, obviously, of the person who was executed. And, you know, he makes a decision and he tells them what his findings are.
But that was the TV series, but presumably they don't put anything before a judge in this.
No. In the book, it goes into far more detail about the crimes than is possible on a TV programme.
Right.
I think, you know, with TV, you've got all sorts of problems. You've got to make it fairly fast-paced.
Of course.
And you've got to squeeze it into the time limit for the, for the programme. So the book, it takes it at a bit of a slower pace. So if you've never watched the programme, you don't need to have done to read the book, because it's completely, each one is a separate case that's investigated. But if you have watched the programme and you've been left, as I was sometimes, thinking, but what about, this book will fill in the gaps. And it deals with male and female murderers.
Oh, right.
So, from all over the country.
But does the book? I thought the book only concentrated on five females.
That's right, but the programme is male and female.
Right, okay.
And, yes, so I would say if you've watched the programme, don't sort of run away with the idea, well, I saw the programme, I don't. There's nothing in the book for me.
Yeah.
Because there is so much more in the book. I found, anyway.
Now, I think we mentioned that in this particular case, the book looks at the cases of five women dating back to the 19th century. Any particular points that grabbed you?
I've got to mention the one with the Essex connection.
Oh, right.
I mean, I couldn't do otherwise. Sarah Chesham. And Sarah Chesham was became very well known as a poisoner in late 1840s, early 1850s. And this all took place in and around Clavering in Essex. And it's a very famous case for one reason being that her conviction and her execution actually helped to change English law.
Oh, in what respect?
In the respect that up until Sarah's execution, it was all too easy for anybody to walk into a chemist's or apothecary's, so they were more commonly known then, yeah, and buy across the counter poison. Because her poison of choice was a bit of a funny way of putting it, but it was arsenic. Hence, she earned the nickname Arsenic Sally, or Sally Arsenic, right, although her name was actually Sarah. But, of course, it was completely uncontrolled. You could buy it across the counter, yep, and it was mainly used in rural areas, of course, to kill vermin.
Yep.
So, you know, all that changed because of the scandal surrounding this murder and the ease with which she seemingly, and I say seemingly because today the belief is she would never have been convicted.
Oh, really?
The evidence was so poor and her trial was conducted in such a way that really today there won't be a hope of convicting her.
Because a number of things that surprised me was the fact that many of the cases, the way that they stressed the credibility of the police.
Yes.
They could do things up until 1898. And what also amazed me was that very often defendants were not granted a lawyer. And female jurors, solicitors and barristers were non-existent until the 1920s.
That's right. In Sarah's case, she was illiterate.
Yep.
And she was granted no legal representation. And a bundle of documents was thrust in front of her. Read this.
Oh, well, yeah.
Which she obviously patently couldn't do.
Yep.
And, you know, this is one of the reasons why the conviction was, as the modern-day judge said, was completely unsound.
Right.
And, you know, no help. She was a poor farm labourer's wife. She had no education. She really didn't know what was going on around her in the court. She had no idea of what was going on.
Now, you've already said that her case wouldn't stand up to today, scrutiny today. How about the other four cases that are in the book?
Yeah, you see, not all of them were declared unsound because I think the problem was... Well, I don't regard this as a problem because I think it adds to the interest of the TV programme and the interest of the book. Bear in mind, forensic techniques were practically unknown with some of these murders. And of course, today it's quite difficult for a modern day judge to be able to say with certainty, this person wasn't guilty. That one I think was, that one wasn't. Because they're going on the paperwork from the time, dating from the 20s, the 30s, back in Chesham's case, to 1840, 1850. So I think the judge, and in a court of law, he can, he or she, in this case it was a male judge, can only say, oh yes, this case is unsound, if they've got good reason in their mind for making that decision. Otherwise, they have to go with the original verdict.
Fair enough. Now, looking at the reviews, I noted that 64% of those who submitted reviews gave it top marks. 19% thought it was good. 17% didn't express any hard opinion. What did you think?
Well, I don't think it's a book that everyone will like. I would say that. I think if you're interested in crime, you're interested in history, and you're interested in a modern day slant on crimes dating from a wide date spectrum, then you will enjoy it, even if you've already seen the programme and you think, well, there's nothing really anymore that I can know. But I think you've got to be of that ilk to really enjoy it. If you find crime dramas, crime programmes, forensic investigation boring, you won't like it.
Right. Okay. Well, then just remind us of the title of the book and the other bits and pieces, how you can get it, etc.
The title is Murder, Mystery and My Family. And I should say, of course, there is a family connection in all of these.
Right.
It's their descendants who are pressing for the case to be reviewed in the light of modern day techniques. So I should stress that. It's subtitled, so it's Murder, Mystery and My Family, subtitled A True Crime Casebook. And it comes from the TV series, and it's by a lady called Karen Farrington. And paperback, round about £6.50, Kindle about £7.
I'm surprised the Kindle's more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, the ones I looked up were. Yeah. There's also a hardback version, right. I believe, as well.
Have you chosen a selection for next time yet?
I have chosen something for next time. I have chosen The Haunting of Alma Fielding by Kate Summerscale. And listeners might remember the name. She wrote the book The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher about the Victorian detective, which was turned into a very successful TV drama series a few years back now.
So it's The Haunting of
Alma Fielding.
Alma Fielding.
By Kate Summerscale.
By Kate Summerscale.